Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our web briefing on open enrollment. The Kaiser Family Foundation is pleased to co-sponsor this webinar with our state navigator partners from Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I'm Karen Pellet, Senior Fellow with the Kaiser Family Foundation, and I'm here with my colleague, Jennifer Tolbert, who is our Director of State Health Reform. And we are happy to be joined by Ina Rubin, who's the Manager of Health Access Initiatives at the United Way of Metro Chicago, and by Dizzy Warren, the Executive Director of Enroll Michigan, and by Donna Friedsam, the Director of Covering Wisconsin. Before we start, I'd just like to remind you of a couple of housekeeping matters. Our web briefing today will be recorded. The archived recording and the slides will be posted online, and everyone who RSVP'd will get a notification once they're posted. Also, just a reminder to everyone that this is a listen-only format, but we do welcome questions. You can type in your questions using the chat feature. Submit questions to speakers at any time during the web briefing, and then we will answer them at the end during the Q&A sessions. I would ask that your questions be specific about the state that you're asking about, since we're covering a lot of ground today. So with that, I would like to begin. The Affordable Care Act's fifth open enrollment is just a few days away, but in some respects, consumers may be laboring under more uncertainty, confusion, and misinformation than was the case just before the first open enrollment back in 2013. We've had a busy year with many events leading up to today. A many months long debate over repeal of the Affordable Care Act ended with no legislation enacted. Then the 2018 open enrollment period was shortened to 6 weeks. Resources for outreach and for consumer assistance were drastically reduced. Then there was an administrative announcement recently that cost-sharing reduction payments to insurers would be terminated, and efforts continue in Congress to try to reverse some of those administrative actions, although their prospects at this point are uncertain. Our tracking poll at the Kaiser Family Foundation finds evidence of confusion and uncertainty among consumers. Following the debate over repeal of the ACA, nearly 30% of the general public and 40% of the uninsured are not aware that the mandate is still in effect or are unsure. So the first thing that consumers need to know about this open enrollment is that the Affordable Care Act is still here. There is still a requirement to have health coverage or pay a tax penalty. The penalty for 2018 is the same as for 2017. That is the greater of $695 for an adult or 2.5% of income above the federal tax filing threshold. To satisfy the mandate, people can sign up for health coverage that's offered at work, or they can apply for Medicaid or CHIP. Illinois and Michigan are two states that elected the ACA's Medicaid expansion. Adults in these states with income up to 138% of the poverty level are eligible. And Wisconsin has extended Medicaid eligibility to adults with incomes up to 100% of the federal poverty level. Even so, in all three states, there are uninsured residents who are eligible for Medicaid or CHIP but not enrolled, nearly 680,000. Now, people who don't have access to job-based coverage or to public programs can buy individual health insurance. Subsidies are available through the marketplace for people with income between the poverty level and four times the poverty level. For a single individual, that's an annual income between roughly $12,000 and $48,000 a year next year. But non-group coverage can only be purchased during open enrollment, or outside of that time, only following certain life-changing events that trigger a special enrollment period. Our tracking poll finds that people don't know when this coming open enrollment starts and ends. Even among people who are already enrolled in the marketplace, 60% don't know that the next open enrollment begins on November 1, and among the uninsured, 85% don't know this opening date. And then 75% of marketplace enrollees and 95% of the uninsured are unaware that open enrollment 5 ends this year on December 15th. Consumers need to know these dates. All prior open enrollments have extended at least through the end of January. But this year, in healthcare.gov states, open enrollment for 2018 coverage is shorter, just 6 weeks long, and will end on December 15th. After that date, people won't be able to buy individual health insurance for 2018 unless they qualify for a special enrollment period. This year, as in the past, people who are already enrolled in the marketplace and who don't act by 11:59 p.m. on December 15th to renew or change their coverage will likely be automatically renewed in the coverage they have now by the marketplace for another year. If their current plan is no longer being offered in 2018, the marketplace will likely automatically sign them up for a different plan. Now, auto-renewal has been standard practice for a few years now, and during the last open enrollment, almost a quarter of marketplace signups were accomplished through auto-renewal. The advice to consumers has always been to actively shop. Don't just rely on auto-renewal, but this year that is especially good advice. In the past, people could see the results of auto-renewal in January, and then they still had a month to change, but that year this will not be the case. However, some people whose insurers leave the marketplace in 2018 may still be eligible to a special enrollment period because of the forced loss of that coverage. As we'll discuss in a minute, there have been a number of marketplace insurers that are leaving in 2018, and there are also significant changes taking place in marketplace premiums, different from anything we've seen in the past. So it's very important for people to log into healthcare.gov, see what your plan choices are for 2018 and what they cost, and make the choice that's best for you. In Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin, there are some issuers that offer marketplace plans this year that won't be back in 2018. Humana has said they will stop participating in the marketplace altogether in Illinois and Michigan next year, and the Health Alliance plan is leaving Michigan's marketplace as well for 2018. In Wisconsin, Anthem, Molina, and the Health Tradition plan are exiting the marketplace. Other 2017 insurers in all three states will continue to offer coverage in 2018. Now, our tracking polls also find that marketplace consumers are very worried about affordability. A majority are concerned that they won't be able to continue to afford coverage next year, either due to rising deductibles or to rising premiums. So, another thing that consumers need to know is that the Affordable Care Act subsidies are still available. In particular, cost-sharing subsidies that reduce deductibles and copays under the ACA marketplace are still here. Some news reports incorrectly described these subsidies as terminating. They have not terminated. These subsidies are available for people with income between the poverty level and 2.5 times the poverty level. The vast majority of marketplace enrollees are eligible for these cost-sharing subsidies. They're delivered only through silver plans. This slide shows a picture of how they work. A traditional silver plan has a very high deductible, on average this year over $3,600. But for people who are eligible for the subsidies, that deductible can be reduced to as low as a couple of $100. During the year, as claims hit these lower deductibles, the insurer that offers the subsidized plan submits the cost to the federal government for reimbursement. And it's that reimbursement, next slide please, that the president just terminated. He had been threatening to terminate these payments to insurers for all year long. So anticipating this, most insurers raised their premiums in 2018 to offset this lost reimbursement from the federal government. And there are two important bottom line messages for consumers. One, again, the cost-sharing subsidies are still there. And two, although insurers have raised their premiums to compensate for this, consumers mostly will be held harmless. Depending on what state regulators allowed, insurers took different approaches to raising their 2018 premiums in order to make up for this lost cost-sharing reduction reimbursement. Mostly, insurers just raised their premiums for the silver plans, the metal tier where those cost-sharing subsidies are delivered. And we've estimated that insurers would need to raise their silver plan premiums by about 20% to make up for these lost federal payments. Some insurers just applied the CSR rate increase to silver plans in the marketplace. But mostly the increase was applied just to silver plans. That will have the effect of driving up the value of premium tax credits because they're tied to the cost of the silver plan. Next slide, please. So what will this mean for consumers? Virtually everywhere, the premium tax credit will absorb the rate increase for people who are eligible for tax credits. People can continue to buy the benchmark silver plan or a cheaper plan, and they'll be able to pay about the same monthly premium that they did in 2017. People may also find other deals. After taking into account the tax credit, consumers may find that the net premium for bronze and gold plans in 2018 is more affordable than it was in 2017. And people who aren't eligible for premium tax credits will also have options to buy plans that don't include this CSR premium surcharge. Here are a couple of examples of actual premiums 2017-2018 from healthcare.gov. The window shopping tool opened yesterday, so people can go into healthcare.gov and enter their own information, your age, your income, and your family size, and see what your own situation will be. This first example shows a 30-year-old who's living in Chicago with an income at twice the federal poverty level, or just over $24,000 in 2018. In 2017, this person was eligible for a tax credit of $131 a month. If she used that to buy the benchmark silver plan, she would have had to pay another $127 a month for her share of the premium. Now, in 2018, the benchmark silver plan is going up by over $100 a month. That's more than a 40% increase. But her tax credit will also go up by more than $100 a month. So this person can again get the benchmark plan in 2018 for about the same amount. If she prefers to buy the lowest cost bronze plan in 2017, that would have cost more than $100 a month. In 2018, she can get it for $34 a month. Similarly, in 2017, the lowest cost gold plan would have cost her $238 a month. But in 2018, the price of that plan will come down to $196 a month. Okay, let's move this young woman to Detroit. In 2017, similar story. She was eligible for a tax credit. Prices were lower in Michigan. Her tax credit there was worth $83 a month, but she could still buy the benchmark plan for $127 a month. And that will still be the case in 2018, even though the premium has gone up substantially. And again, the lowest cost bronze will be cheaper for this woman, as will the gold plan compared to what she would have paid for those plans in 2017. And one final example in Wisconsin, let's move her to Milwaukee this time. Premiums are higher in Wisconsin. So in 2017, this young woman was eligible for a tax credit of $209 a month, same income as in the other cities. If she used the credit to buy the benchmark silver plan, it would cost her $128 a month. It's basically the same, just rounding. In 2018, the benchmark plan is going up by 50%, over $500 a month, but with her tax credit, that'll also go up by more than $160, and she'll still be able to buy that benchmark plan for $128. The lowest cost bronze plan will be almost free to her, only $9 a month, and the lowest cost gold plan will also be a little bit less expensive than it was in 2017. The bottom line message again for consumers: premiums are going up in 2018 a lot as insurers price for the loss of federal payments and for other uncertainty. But most of that increase is being applied to silver plans, so consumer subsidies will keep up. Subsidy-eligible individuals will be able to pay about the same amount or less for their monthly premiums, and consumers who aren't eligible for subsidies can buy other plans on the marketplace other than the silver level, and in many cases will be able to buy a silver plan off marketplace for much less. Okay, next slide. Also, in Open Enrollment 5, consumers should be aware that a couple of new rules are going to take effect. The first rule that we call failure to reconcile, consumers who have been in the marketplace for a while, who received a premium tax credit in 2016, last year, they were required to file their 2016 federal income tax return this spring in 2017. And they had to have filed with that IRS Form 8962, which reconciles the premiums that they received with the actual premium tax credit, rather, with the actual amount that they were eligible for. If they didn't file a tax return with Form 8962, they will not be eligible for premium tax credits in 2018. Now, people will find this out when they go in and apply for 2018 coverage and subsidies. The eligibility determination will notice will say that they're not eligible for premium tax credits. The trick is, it won't say why exactly. Instead, the notice will provide a list of possible reasons why the consumer is not eligible, and then they'll have to figure this out. So if you determine that failure to file or failure to reconcile applies to you, you can fix that by filing an amended 2016 return, including Form 8962. At that point, you can log into your healthcare.gov account. You can indicate that this status has changed, and that should turn your subsidy back on. The other new rule implemented this year allows insurance companies to refuse to effectuate a consumer's 2018 coverage if they owed past due premiums from 2017. This new rule took effect in the middle of the year on June 19th, so it may not affect very many people this fall. It only applies to premiums that were missed on or after that date. And insurers who are adopting this new practice were required to notify their enrollees this year. So hopefully it'll only affect a small number of people this year. If you do have a problem, if the insurer says you missed a payment and you disagree, no appeals process has been established for this, so you will need to probably work with a navigator or an assister, but contact your state regulator and the marketplace to see if you can work that out. And then looking ahead, consumers just need to know that missing a premium payment in 2018 could limit their ability to continue coverage in the future. Given all these changes, the last thing I want to mention is that consumers need to know how important it is to start early this open enrollment on signing up for coverage. Waiting until the final days is risky. Every open enrollment so far, there's been a surge of activity during the final days before the deadline, and that means sometimes the website doesn't work very well, the screen freezes, the hold times at the call center can be lengthy. In the past, HHS allowed what they called an in-line extension for people who had started their application before midnight on the last day of open enrollment, but who had not yet completed enrollment. It's not clear if that option is going to be available again this year. Meanwhile, though, HHS has also said that there will be planned outages on healthcare.gov during open enrollment, including most Sunday mornings, so consumers need to plan for that. The administration also, as I mentioned, had substantially reduced payments to navigator programs in all of the federal marketplace states, on average about 31%. 41%. In Illinois, the reduction was somewhat less, 31% overall, 44% in Wisconsin, and 72% in Michigan. So the cuts fell sort of unevenly across programs and states, but in programs that were cut, we have seen staff layoffs, reduced service areas, reduced hours of availability. And even before these funding reductions, it had been the case that waiting until the last minute sometimes meant consumers couldn't get an appointment with an in-person assister because they were too busy. So for all of those reasons, please start as early as you can. Set up your healthcare.gov account, update your application, review your plan choices and costs, and get enrolled in coverage for 2018. I just want to mention also, because I can't not mention it, that Medicaid coverage is available year-round for low-income adults in our three states. People often find out during open enrollment when they're not sure what they're eligible for and they fill out their application, that's often when they find out that they are eligible for Medicaid or CHIP. But these programs are open year-round, and they have led to expanded coverage for many people living in these three states. I'm just going to close by mentioning that we have a lot of resources related to open enrollment on KFF.org, our health reform frequently asked questions, our subsidy calculator will be updated in the near future, our state health facts page has a lot of great data on what's going on in health insurance and Medicaid coverage in our three states. So I encourage you to take advantage of those resources. They are there for everybody. That's the end of my presentation. I'm going to turn it over now to Ina Rubin of the United Way of Metro Chicago. Ina?
Thanks, Karen. Hi, everyone. My name is Ina Rubin. I am the Manager of Health Access Initiatives at United Way of Metro Chicago. And I just want to thank the Kaiser Family Foundation for organizing today's briefing and for inviting me to go over this really important information that every Illinois resident needs to know in order to get covered and stay covered next year. So next slide, please. So the key messages that we've developed here at United Way are working in collaboration with our Illinois Coalition of Health Access. For Open Enrollment 5, we're trying to cut through the confusion and make it very, very clear that these five things are still true no matter what happens in D.C. Next slide, please. So number one, first and foremost, the ACA is still here. Again, no matter what happens in D.C., if you enroll in health insurance for 2018, you will have health insurance in 2018. Your insurance will not be taken away. They will not be repealed in the middle of the year. So if you get health insurance right now, or November 1st to December 15th, you will have health insurance in 2018. Obviously, the deadline is really important because most people, as Karen mentioned, don't know about it. So you have to enroll by December 15th. If you miss the deadline, you're likely to spend almost all of 2018 uninsured unless you qualify for Medicaid or employer coverage. Let's see, 80% of people qualify for a discount on their health insurance. And we've in the past used the word financial assistance. We're just trying to simplify it this year because there's a lot of information to get out there. So we're just saying discount because nobody really knows what financial assistance means, it turns out. So people get discounted health insurance. Roughly 80% of people get the discount. It's based on income, and navigators can help find out if you're eligible. The ACA has got your back. So as Karen pointed out, there is a lot of misinformation out there right now about the premium increases. Yes, premiums went up, but as Kaiser has shown us, so did the subsidies. So regardless of how much the premiums went up, if your income is the same, then your expected contribution is going to be the same. So the ACA covers the difference. And, of course, we're here to help. So free, local, in-person help is still available. Next slide, please. So it's important to note that people who qualify for one of these discounts, the 80% of residents in Illinois, they can only receive their discounts if they enroll on the marketplace, which is healthcare.gov. Studies find that tens of thousands of Illinois residents who purchase their insurance outside of the marketplace would actually qualify for discounted health insurance on the marketplace, but are simply unaware of that. So we regularly hear over the years about people who try to purchase their insurance outside of the marketplace and are taken advantage of. So it's really important that people who shop outside of the marketplace are savvy consumers. They consider, you know, all of the factors. So you have to ask the right questions. And that's the best way to protect yourself. So these are some key questions people should ask if they're shopping outside of the marketplace. First and foremost, are you a licensed broker? In Illinois, you have to be licensed by the Department of Insurance in order to sell insurance. And every broker should have a producer number. So people should ask for that and write it down in case something comes up later. Is the insurance plan being offered to me a qualified health plan based on the ACA compliance guidelines? So many, many times people get enrolled into coverage outside of the marketplace and they think they have insurance, but in reality it does not meet minimum essential coverage standards based on marketplace guidelines, which means that they have less coverage than they should have and are at risk of high medical bills, but also that they have to pay a tax penalty next year because the IRS does not consider them insured. So asking to make sure that the plan you're enrolling in is ACA compliant if you're outside of the marketplace is really important. Of course, asking if you're eligible for a discount. So the broker you're working with should be telling you if you're eligible for a discount on the marketplace. And also asking if these are all the insurance options that are available, because many times brokers work on commission, so they will show you the plans that offer them commission rather than showing you every single plan available. So asking to make sure that you have all of your options available to compare before you select a plan. Next slide, please. So since only about 3% of Illinois residents purchase their insurance in the marketplace, we want to avoid adding to confusion with everyone else by being very clear what does and does not apply to everyone else. Next slide, please. So Medicare enrollment is happening right now. It overlaps with the marketplace enrollment. So Medicare's health insurance program for seniors over 65 and individuals living with disabilities. Medicare enrollment every year runs October 15th through December 7th. If anyone needs help enrolling into Medicare or has questions about Medicare in Illinois, they can actually call a Medicare specialist at 800-252-8966. These Medicare specialists are called SHIP counselors, S-H-I-P. Medicaid enrollment is always open. So Medicaid is obviously free health insurance for a free health insurance program for children, adults, and seniors with limited income. And right now, we kind of have a perfect storm in Illinois because our Medicaid is transitioning to cover 100% of the state's Medicaid enrollees in a managed care plan, which is significantly more than we were covering before in managed care. So people are getting letters as we speak telling them they need to select a plan, and there is going to be a lot of confusion about whether that means they have to select a plan by December 15th. And we really want to make sure everybody who has Medicaid knows the December 15th deadline does not apply to them. They don't need to panic. They don't need to come to a navigator right away. They can pick a plan, but they can also switch their plan up until March 31st of 2018. So they have some time to make a decision, to compare their options, and the ACA deadline does not apply to them. And, of course, open enrollment for employer coverage varies. About 50% of Illinois residents get their health insurance through their employer or through their spouse's employer. And employers set their own open enrollment dates, which may or may not overlap with the marketplace open enrollment. Many people we've seen over the years think that they can get less expensive insurance on the marketplace, and so they miss their employer deadline for open enrollment and then come to shop on the marketplace only to find out they don't get a discount. Because if your employer offers you coverage, you don't qualify for a discount, which means the insurance is going to be much more expensive than the insurance your employer offers you. So generally speaking, when in doubt, you should pick your employer plan. Next slide, please. And, of course, we're here to help. So thousands of Illinois residents still remain uninsured, and we worry that thousands more will lose their coverage because of confusion and uncertainty. So if you're uninsured, if you know anybody who's uninsured, or if you need help renewing your marketplace coverage, you can make an appointment with a navigator for free local in-person enrollment help across the state of Illinois. We have Spanish-speaking navigators, Mandarin-speaking navigators, Polish navigators. So we offer bilingual services. You can make an appointment at liveunitedchicago.org/getcovered. And regardless of where you get your insurance, if you have questions about how to use your insurance, if you need help understanding your benefits, if you encounter any barriers to accessing healthcare, navigators are here year-round. So beyond December 15th, you can make an appointment with the navigator anytime. If you have questions, just want to talk things through, kind of discern what your network is, what your benefits are, we're always here for you. Next slide. And that's it. So I just want to leave you with the fact that United Way of Metro Chicago is committed to fighting for the health, education, financial stability, and safety of every person in every neighborhood across the region. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ina. And now we're going to turn to Dizzy Warren, the Executive Director of Enroll Michigan.
Good afternoon. I want to thank Karen and the Kaiser Family Foundation for your ongoing commitment in educating both consumers and advocates about the ins and outs of the Affordable Care Act before and since its inception. I also want to thank you for inviting Enroll Michigan to participate in this very timely webinar today. So as has been said in the information provided by Karen earlier, in spite of the loss of a couple of insurers in the marketplace, Michigan still has a pretty robust participation of insurer in the marketplace. All of our counties with have at least one provider, and that's primarily up in the UP area specifically. With all other counties, consumer having a choice between 2 to 8 or 9 insurers. So there are quite a few plans on the marketplace in the state of Michigan for consumers. So the primary point that I want to make is, again, many consumers do not know about the shortened enrollment period. So one of the things that we want to emphasize is the open enrollment period dates of November 1st through December 15th. This is going to be one of the most important information areas that we can provide our consumers with, is to let them know we're only working with a 6-week period of time instead of the 12 weeks or more that we have had in the past. Also, that the minimum coverage individual mandate is still the law. So consumers who can afford insurance coverage but choose not to have it can face a tax penalty. The other area is that in spite of the 72% cut to Navigator budget in the state of Michigan, many of us are still there. So consumers should not really notice any services that were available in the past by Navigators, should not notice that they're not there anymore, because for the most part, in all in 75 of the 83 Michigan counties, there are certified CMS Navigators available. So we encourage consumers that have any questions about health insurance, or consumers that are already enrolled, or consumers who are signing up for the first time, if you have any questions or need any kind of assistance at all, we encourage you to contact a Navigator or, contact a Navigator or other assisters in your area, because there are plenty of them available. But again, with the shortened open enrollment period, you might want to do that sooner rather than later, because they will get booked up pretty fast. We also, for those consumers who already have insurance, we want to encourage you to look at new options. Review any potential changes to your policy, as in a case where if you were insured by one of the consumers that leaving the marketplace, you might have gotten a replacement policy that is very different from the one that you had. You also really need to make every effort to update and compare the subsidies and tax breaks. I think Karen did an excellent job of outlining where at different plans, the cost might have gone up technically, but if you're eligible for subsidies and tax breaks, your cost may be the same or, in a few cases, less than it was last year. Any consumer needing any kind of assistance with the application process or questions about the application, they can contact Enroll Michigan by calling our office at 517-367-7293, or go to our website, which is enrollmichigan.org. On that website, there's a section called Find Local Help. If you click on that button, you will find by regions and by counties, Navigators and other assisters, direct contact information for the areas that you live in. So there's more than likely an assister or a Navigator right in your own community that you can get assistance from. Again, because of the shortened 6-week period, we are asking that that you take advantage. Next slide, please. That consumers take advantage of the 4 different ways that they can get health insurance coverage. Again, you can go online by visiting healthcare.gov to apply and enroll. And quite frankly, that is the quickest way. You can also get enrolled over the telephone by calling the Marketplace Call Center at 1-800-318-2596. You can get enrolled with the in-person assistors. That's the navigator and other types of assistors in your local community. And, again, you just need to contact Enroll Michigan or go to our website to locate the navigator in your community. And there still is a paper application, which many of us are familiar with from the first year. You can fill that out, mail it in, and you should be able to get your results within a two-week period. But we, again, encourage you to use one of these four ways, because the most important thing is to get covered. Otherwise, you might face a tax penalty. Thank you, Karen, and the Kaiser Family Foundation again for this webinar. My name is Dizzy Warren. I'm the Executive Director of Enroll Michigan. Thank you.
Thank you, Dizzy. And next we're going to turn to Donna Friedsam of Covering Wisconsin. Donna?
Well, thank you, and good morning or afternoon, depending on which side of the time zone line you are on in among these three states. And I want to also thank Karen and the Kaiser Family Foundation for inviting me and Covering Wisconsin to participate in this webinar, and also generally for all the wonderful work that your organization does in supporting consumers and we organizations out in the states. I oversee Covering Wisconsin. I'm based at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Covering Wisconsin is based also with the University of Wisconsin, has an affiliation with UW Extension with offices in Madison and Milwaukee and subcontracted offices in the other counties throughout our service area. Next slide, please. I'm just going to quickly point out, because I'm not going to reiterate, but I do want to amplify the key points of my colleagues who went before me, all of the key points about the need to enroll and what consumers need to know apply here in Wisconsin as well, and I'm not going to reiterate them now, but I do want to point out a few particulars in Wisconsin. Who is still uninsured? This is based on the most recent data available, and we have about 300,000 existing remaining uninsured residents in our state, 5.3% of the population. And within that, 15% of the uninsured are children, actually. 45,300 children remain uninsured, and those children really need to get connected to Medicaid or Badger care. So in addition to the work we're doing to enroll people in the Affordable Care Act, we are also working to get those who are eligible for Medicaid and Badger care connected with that coverage. But you can see that the uninsured in our state, through this pie chart, you can see that they exist in all age ranges. Next slide, please. And Wisconsin has is fortunate to have many plans participating in the marketplace. Wisconsin is known as a state that has a very highly competitive insurance market generally, and we have 11 plans offering products on the ACA marketplace this year. That is down slightly from previous years. As Karen noted earlier, we've lost three plans. Generally, the national carriers have departed the state. But our domestic insurance carriers, the ones who are affiliated with our local health systems, have remained and continue doing business and see a good market for doing business through the exchange. So you can see here the plans that will be offering products, and none of these plans are statewide. They all do business in their particular service areas. The details are available on our insurance commissioner's website. And I did note here with the asterisk that several of these insurance carriers provide coverage both on the Affordable Care Act and also our Medicaid and Badger Care programs. And this is important because many families with lower incomes have children who qualify for Medicaid and Badger Care while the parents qualify for the Affordable Care Act coverage. And when those plans provide both products, we can keep families enrolled under the same plan and with the same provider systems. So that is something that is somewhat desirable. Next slide, please. So I'm just providing here some information to let you know the degree of choice available throughout our state, and it does vary. 11 counties have one carrier offering insurance products through the – this is on the Affordable Care Act. 34 counties have two carriers. 20 counties have three carriers. 4 counties have 4 carriers. And 3 counties have 5 carriers. And if you go to the next slide, you can see that in map version. So it does vary, but we do have carriers offering products in all of our counties, like as we do nationally. And it has been more difficult as it is nationally to get a large degree of choice in rural areas, but fortunately we do have some fairly good choice around the state, and that continues despite all the challenges that have been reported in the news. Next slide, please. And I just wanted to show you a little bit more information specific to Wisconsin, in addition to what Karen showed you. Wisconsin insurance carriers have loaded for with the cost sharing, the change in the federal payment to them, that they're not being paid for the cost sharing reductions. They have loaded that new cost onto the silver level plans. So for the most part, you'll see the silver level plans having a much higher increase in their premiums than you will see the average rate of increase and the increases you'll see in the other metal levels. You can get more information at those links I'm providing here. Next slide, please. And now just to point out the kind of assistance that's available, these are the federally designated navigator entities. I'm with covering Wisconsin. The pink counties and the bottom, the solid pink counties are the counties that we will have our specific presence in. The ones with the cross-hatching are the counties that we used to directly serve, but given the 42% cutback in our federal funding this year, we had to pull back from those counties, and we now are trying to arrange for local organizations in those counties to try to fill in some way, although not with federal navigator services. And then up in the northwest part of the state, an organization called the Northwest SEP, a community economic development program, is also funded as a federally designated navigator to serve those counties in that area. There are not navigators in the rest of the state, but I do want to point out that there are other forms of enrollment assisters available. There's community or certified application counselors called CACs, and then hospitals have financial advisors, and of course there's insurance agents and brokers who, while they are not necessarily there to help families who will also need assistance enrolling in Medicaid and Badger Care, many of them will assist their clients to enroll in the marketplace plans. Next slide, please. So Covering Wisconsin has quite a lot of information on its website. There is a calendar. You can see on the right, this is a bit of information about the kind of calendar information you can get on the website. There's calendars for the kinds of enrollment events that will be occurring on the communities that Covering Wisconsin serves, the enrollment events and where the enrollment services will be occurring in the different communities. I encourage you to go to Covering Wisconsin, and you'll see the website in subsequent slides to look at that calendar. There's also what we call how-to sheets that we produce that are written for universal literacy standards, both in English and in Spanish, to help consumers understand various aspects of health insurance and interacting with health care. In Wisconsin, consumers can connect with a health enrollment assister by dialing 211 throughout the state, and that helpline run by United Way will identify enrollment assistance or connect them to Covering Wisconsin or other kinds of enrollment assistance. Next slide, please. I guess that's my last slide. So that's what I have to say about Covering Wisconsin. Again, in Wisconsin, consumers can dial 211 or go directly to our Covering Wisconsin website where they can directly schedule an appointment on our online scheduler as well. So thank you, and I look forward to answering questions.
Thank you so much, Donna, and thanks to Ina and Dizzy. We are going to turn to questions now that were submitted to us via chat. There is still time to send in questions. If you are asking about a particular state, please be specific about the state that you're asking about. We have several questions about the availability of slides. Just again, a reminder, this web briefing is being recorded, and it will be posted online along with the slides later today, certainly by tomorrow morning, on kff.org, and you will receive a link to that posting. So let me just start with some of the questions that have been submitted. The first one from Kathy in Illinois, are there realistic options for people who are not eligible for tax credits? The answer is yes. In many states, I believe Illinois is one of these, insurers that loaded these big premium increases onto the silver plans that I described did not apply those increases to their plans that they sell off the marketplace. So if you are not eligible for subsidies, you can still buy ACA policies, you know, compliant policies, off the marketplace from the same insurers that sell on the marketplace also offer these policies off the marketplace. You'll need to get in touch with them. Those prices are not posted on healthcare.gov. Ina, I don't know if you've had any opportunity yet to talk to insurance companies in the state of Illinois about what their plan options are off the marketplace.
Hi, it's Ina. I have not had a chance to look over their plan options off the marketplace. As of now, I think we've just been encouraging people to do their due diligence before enrolling off the marketplace, but there are absolutely options available off of the marketplace.
Okay. So so that slide where I showed you the insurers, Blue Cross of Illinois and so forth, you can go to their website and see their off-marketplace plans. You can also reach out to an insurance agent or broker. So definitely, as Ina said, be sure to look for your off-marketplace options as well, because you may find those are less expensive. We have another question. Oh, this is a fun one. A casework question. This is from Tim, who's asking about a client who's turning 65 and going on to Medicare in April of 2018. If she doesn't sign up for private health insurance for 2018, will the penalty be prorated for the 3 months, January through March, when she is uninsured? Yes, the penalty is prorated. That $695 or 2.5% of income, that is a 12-month penalty. But for each month that you are uninsured, you pay 1/12 of the penalty. There is an exemption from the penalty if you have a short gap in coverage, but that gap has to be less than 3 months. So if she's going to be uninsured January, February, and March, she could owe 1/4 of that tax penalty. Okay, let's see. We have another Illinois question. This is from Kate. As long as you purchase from a licensed broker, can you find an ACA-compliant plan? Put another way, do all insurers carry ACA-compliant plans? No, not all insurers do. There are some insurers that don't sell ACA-compliant policies. They may sell other non-compliant policies, things like short-term non-renewable plans or limited benefit plans, hospital, you know, pays $100 a day when you're in the hospital kind of plan, or a cancer policy, something like that. So those plans do need to be marked as non-compliant plans. And then insurers that sell ACA-compliant plans sometimes also sell these non-compliant plans. So you do have to be specific if you're looking for an ACA-compliant plan that covers essential health benefits, that doesn't exclude your pre-existing condition, and so forth. It is important if you're working with a broker or anybody else to specify that that's what you want to look at. Let's see. Jen, another Illinois one. We're all about Illinois today. Jennifer wants to know, Ina, you can jump in on this one. Are there any navigators left in Illinois? Well, we know of one, right? I live in Illinois. I used one last year. She was great. If navigators are no longer available, how does somebody obtain help with shopping on the marketplace in Illinois? Ina, what do you say?
There are absolutely navigators available. We are here to help. We have navigators, certified application counselors who are similar to navigators, just a different license form. They are all available to help. You can make an appointment online with a navigator or a certified application counselor on our website at livingedchicago.org/getcovered. You put in your address or your zip code. You put in the language you prefer. And then right on the website, you can schedule an appointment with a navigator.
Thank you, Ina. All right. Here's a generic question from Hector. My COBRA coverage is going to run out in the middle of the year. Any suggestions on when to shop for new coverage? You can shop now during open enrollment. You are eligible to sign up during open enrollment, even though you still have your COBRA coverage in effect. If you do decide to do that, you're going to have to cancel your COBRA coverage effective January 1. Your other option is to shop as your COBRA coverage is about to run out. Don't wait until the last day or the last few days, but you should get a notice from your health plan administrator giving you the date when COBRA will end. About a month or 6 weeks before that, I would go onto the marketplace and apply for your special enrollment. You will need to verify, so you're going to have to keep your notice that COBRA is running out. You will need to submit written verification that you are eligible for this special enrollment period because your COBRA is expiring, but at that point you will be able to sign up for new coverage. So you do have both options. Let's see. Here's one from Michigan, from Kara. Asking if we have any statistics about how many people in Michigan are still uninsured. Dizzy, do you have that handy? Otherwise, we can turn to our experts here.
I don't have an actual number, but I believe, according to the last community survey done by the census, 93% of Michigan residents are insured, so about 7% are uninsured.
Okay. Jen, did you want to add to that, or do you want us to come back to that?
No, that's what we have. That translates to about 611,000 people who were uninsured using the most recent data from the current population survey, so reflected the uninsured in 2016.
Okay. And we've got a similar question coming up on Wisconsin. I can come back to that in a second if you want to cue that up. Let me just jump ahead. Amy asks, you mentioned in the beginning that there is a way to get assistance on reducing deductibles. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Sure. I don't know, Ashley, can you back the slides up to this one? So if you are shopping on the marketplace, there are special silver plans that are available to you if your income is below 2.5 times the poverty level. They'll show up when you go onto healthcare.gov and you enter your income. If your income is in this range, they'll just show up. And I think they're marked something like extra help or something like that. But you'll see the normal silver plans, which all have high deductibles. And then depending on your income, you'll see these other modified, they're called CSR silver plans, cost sharing reduction silver plans. You'll pay the same as you would for a regular silver plan, but your CSR plan will have a lower deductible, a little bit lower if your income is between 2 and 2.5 times the poverty level, and a whole lot lower if your income is below twice the poverty level. So this slide from our presentation just shows an average of what the CSR plans look like in all of the healthcare.gov states, but if you go on healthcare.gov, as I said, and enter your information, you'll be able to see what the plans in your area look like. Okay, let me go, let's see, Wisconsin. Trevor in Wisconsin wants to know, if an individual enrolls in the marketplace for coverage, are they guaranteed coverage for the whole year? For example, if the ACA is repealed. Donna, you want to take a crack at that one?
Yes, if you enroll in this open enrollment period, the plan will be available for the 2018 year, barring some extreme and completely unforeseeable circumstance, you will have a plan available.
Thanks. And Donna, while I've got you on the line, Guy Bolton wants to know, can we please have a current estimate on the number of people who have received subsidized coverage in Wisconsin through the ACA marketplace, and an estimate on the reduction in the number of people in Wisconsin who are uninsured since 2013? You want to try that one?
Yes. Guy is always asking for the exact numbers. I will need to pull them up, but I can give you the approximate right now before I pull them up on my computer. About 81% of the people who selected marketplace plans in Wisconsin in 2017 received the discounts. Thank you, Illinois' use of that word instead of the federal subsidies. And so that comes to nearly 200,000 Wisconsin residents relying on those discounts to purchase their coverage. And what was the second question? The reduction in uninsured?
Yes.
Is that the second question?
Yeah.
So I use the American Community Survey, the ACS, which was released in September 2017. So I consider that the most current data available. And according to that, the change in uninsured from 2013 prior to the ACA to 2016 was, in 2013, Wisconsin's uninsured rate was 9.1%, and the current rate is 5.3%, and that represents a reduction of about 217,000 uninsured residents gaining coverage. I can pull up the exact numbers if you want them, but those are pretty close numbers right there.
Thanks, and we can follow up by email afterwards as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay. Guy's a friend.
Yeah.
Let's see. We've got another question, not specific to this. Well, maybe specific to the states. Are there any options for undocumented families that must be covered for a chronic illness? I'm going to ask my colleague Jen Tolbert to start on that, and then our state partners can jump in as well.
Yeah, so unfortunately, there are very few coverage options for undocumented immigrants. Undocumented immigrants are prohibited from purchasing coverage through the marketplaces, even if they are willing and able to pay the full cost of that coverage. So marketplace coverage is not available. Individuals can purchase off the marketplace. However, again, there wouldn't be no subsidies available. For lower income immigrants who meet other requirements in their state for Medicaid coverage, they can get what's called emergency Medicaid in some cases, but it is those are very limited benefits and doesn't provide sort of the kind of ongoing treatment that someone with a chronic illness would most likely want to have, but it would provide some limited coverage for emergency care. The only other option, it's not a coverage option, but there are federally funded community health centers available in states and communities where people can get care on a sliding scale basis, and so you know that may be an option as well. And those community health centers are required to treat everyone. There may be waiting lists to get an appointment, but people can get and access care on a sliding scale basis there.
Ina, Dizzy, or Donna, did you want to add anything on that one?
Sorry,
I'll let you guys.
Dizzy, go ahead and start.
Okay. In our state, there are limited opportunities for undocumented consumers to get the actual coverage. But as in the case with the other presenter. We have a number of places where our consumers can get care, federally qualified health centers that was mentioned earlier, along with a number of community-based groups and organizations who offer care as a service to the populations that they are targeting. And this is available in most parts of our state. There may be a few places where nothing is available, but in most parts of our state, there the care itself is available.
Okay.
And this is Wisconsin. I'm sorry. This is Donna, and I'm not sure. I didn't catch if you had mentioned emergency Medicaid coverage for undocumented immigrants. Was that something you had mentioned?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that exists, and particularly pregnant women can gain that coverage. But other than that, only what the other things you mentioned, FQHCs and emergency departments.
Donna, are children who are undocumented covered through Badger Care?
No.
No? Okay. And Ina, anything else in Illinois?
Hi, yep, thanks. So the same thing with FQHCs, federally qualified health centers, available in Illinois. Any Illinois resident that wants to find a local health center can go to the Illinois Primary Healthcare Association's website. That's IPHCA.org/find-a-health-center. And you can find a health center there that offers either free or low-cost health coverage based on your income. And in Illinois, all kids, regardless of their immigration status, under the age of 18, are eligible for Medicaid. So we try to encourage everybody to get that word out. The way we say it is all kids are eligible for all kids, because that's what our Medicaid program is called. So anybody and everybody who is under 18 should be covered under Medicaid or any kind of other health insurance available to them.
Okay, great. Thank you. I think we probably have to wrap this up. We're a little after 1 o'clock. I do want to remind once again this briefing was recorded. It will be posted online by the end of today. For folks who chatted a question that we didn't get to, I apologize. We will follow up with you by email, and if you didn't have a chance to submit a question but you would like to, please contact our associate Katie Smith at the Kaiser Family Foundation, ksmith@kff.org, and we will follow up with you as well. Additional resources are available on kff.org. You can keep up with us via email and social media. And actually, just to make Ashley crazy back up, I just want to make sure that I showed the contact information for all of our presenters today in case you'd like to be in touch with any of us directly with follow-up questions or concerns. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Have a great day and a great open enrollment.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.